Could we turn to Luke chapter 1, please? Luke chapter 1. And we're starting to read at the verse 26. Luke chapter 1. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favoured. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at the saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favour with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. And he shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. The Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there was no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And just one verse in chapter 2, it's a verse 7. And she, Mary, brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them at the inn. And we know the Lord will bless this reading from his own infallible word this morning. Could we ask the Lord to bless the reading of his word? Father, we thank you for your word this morning. And now, Lord, as we would look at that lovely name of Jesus, we can say with the hymn writer, the name of Jesus is so sweet. I love its music to repeat. It makes my joys full and complete, the precious name of Jesus. And Lord, we thank you. In Matthew, we read that the angel told Joseph, Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sin. Lord, I pray that you'll hide man behind the cross this morning. May none be seen but Jesus only, for we ask it all in thy wonderful name. Amen. When a child is born into a family, the first thing the parents do, they start looking for a name. And I remember when our first boy was born into our family, my wife Eleanor went and got a book and she looked up all the different names. And we called our first boy David. But you know, when it came to our last boy, we called him Mark. And he was well named because Mark, David means beloved. But the name Mark means warrior. And when my two boys got together, it was like a fight. But you know, we read in Genesis here about a family. And the family, the husband, Abraham, was 100 years old. And his wife, Sarah, we are told, was 90 years old. And they had been waiting for the promised son. And you know, this man, Abraham, was such a rich man. He lived in a beautiful tent and he would have had all the riches that there were. And you know, when this little babe was born, Isaac, you know, I'm sure that the part of the tent where that child was to be, it was made of all beautiful things. Just like when our young child was born, we had a special room decorated for the head. You know, I'm sure Abraham had the best of cots and all in those days, and the best covering that they could have. But you know, when we turn to Matthew, we read of another family waiting for a birth of a child. But you know, there was a difference here. Joseph was not the father of this child, because the Bible tells us that this child was born of the Holy Spirit. Joseph, we could say, was his stepfather. And what a different place this child was born in. This child wasn't born in a beautiful house. This child wasn't born in a beautiful tent. When the child was born, it wasn't laid in the best cot. The Bible tells us that when the child was born, it was wrapped in swaddling clothes. Swaddling clothes were a type of death clothes that they wrapped round the bodies. Therefore, this little child was wrapped in swaddling clothes. I'm sure Isaac had the best of linen and the best of all the materials that Abraham could get. But you know what a difference when we come. This little child was born in a stable. And you can imagine the smell of the animals and all that was happening. You know, what a difference. But I want you to notice something that I noticed last evening. That both parents were not given the opportunity to name the children. My wife and I were given the opportunity to name our children. But you know, the Bible tells us that the Lord sent the message that Isaac was to be called Isaac. And the Lord Jesus was to be called Jesus. God tells Abraham, "Thou shalt call his name Isaac, and I will establish my covenant with him." God tells Joseph, "Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sin." Oh, my friend, this morning here we see the promised Son of God. We see the promised seed that we read about in Genesis 3. "I will put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." Here we have the virgin-born Son of God coming into the world. You know, brothers and sisters, when we come to consider the Lord Jesus, we need to remember that his birth was different from all other birth. He was conceived by the Holy Ghost and was born of a virgin. One of the foundation truths of the Christian faith is that Jesus Christ is truly God, and that he came into the world as man by the miracle of the virgin birth. And as man, he was absolutely sinless. Christ came in human form in order to reveal the Father. He told Philip, "He that has seen me hath seen the Father." Christ came in human form to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Christ came in human form to destroy the works of the devil. We read in 1 John 3, "For this purpose was the Son of Man manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil." You know, brothers and sisters, although the prophets in the Old Testament did not fully understand many things that God led them to write, they revealed repeatedly that the coming Messiah would be God in the flesh. For example, Isaiah 9 and 6 prophesied centuries before the Lord Jesus' birth that a child would be born, a son would be given. Whose son was this to be? It was the Son of God. Isaiah went on to say, "His name should be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." You know, my friend, those names are reserved for God. The Lord Jesus was born of a virgin not only because his birth was supernatural, but because it was to be spotless and pure, without stain and sin. The Lord Jesus wasn't born of a queen or an empress. He wasn't born in a palace. He was born of a virgin, the Virgin Mary. Although she herself was of the royal race of David, but you know, she came from a little town of Nazareth. Many would want to deny the virgin birth today. There's many who don't believe in the virgin birth. But you know, to deny the virgin birth is to deny the Bible. Because the Bible tells us over and over again that the Lord Jesus was the spotless Lamb of God. Very quickly and very briefly this morning, I want to take that lovely name of Jesus as a little acrostic. And I want to suggest some things to you about that name. Could I suggest to you this morning that the letter J could stand for the Just One? The Lord Jesus Christ, the Just One. You know, when it came to the Passover, Moses was told that he had to take a lamb without blemish. And he had to take that lamb, and he had to, each house had to take the lamb and sacrifice that lamb. And the blood had to be put on the lintels. It had to be a perfect lamb. It had to be a spotless lamb. You know, one day, John the Baptist was standing at the river. And he pointed his finger and he said, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." He saw the Lord Jesus Christ coming. And he was able to declare that the Lord Jesus was the Just Son of God. My friend, this morning, even the Lord's enemies could say that the Lord Jesus was the Just One. This morning, could I take you into Pilate's hall? And as we walk into Pilate's hall, we see Pilate sitting there in all his grandeur. And we see our Savior, the Lord Jesus, standing before him. And all of a sudden, there is a person, a servant, comes running into Pilate. And he whispers in Pilate's ear. And he says, "Your wife says, have nothing to do with that Just Man. For I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him." Pilate's wife could testify that the Lord Jesus Christ was the Just One. But you know, as Pilate stood there and he looked on the Savior, and he could see that this mob, this crowd, were bowing for the Lord, and he feared this mob. He wanted to release the Savior, because even Pilate realized that this was a just man. And Pilate tells us, and he takes water and he washes his hands, and he says, "I am innocent of the blood of this just person." But you know, my friend, he wasn't innocent of the blood of the Savior. He had the power to release the Lord, but you know, he was afraid of the crowd. But nevertheless, he could witness that the Lord Jesus was the Just One. Could we leave Pilate's hall this morning? And could I take you into the temple? And there we see the chief priests and the priests, they're rejoicing. They have got the Savior, and they know that he's going to be crucified, and they're going to get rid of this man that had given them so much trouble. But you know, as we look, we see a figure. And it's a figure of a lost soul. It's the figure of Judas the traitor. And I hear a cry and a shrill from this man, Judas, as he throws the 30 pieces of silver down across the floor. And I hear the silver rattle across the floor. And he lets out a shrill, "I have betrayed innocent blood." Even Judas could say the Lord Jesus was the Just Son of God. And the Bible tells us he then went down and hung himself. But my friends, this morning, could we come to Calvary? And there we see the Lord Jesus. He's battered. He's bruised. Isaiah tells us that he's marred more than any man. And there I see a centurion. And he tells the men to lay the tree down. And he orders the men to put the nails into the Savior's hands and to put the nails into the Savior's feet. And he watches this as it happens. He tells them to take the tree and drop it into the socket. And he stands and he watches. And he sees the darkness come. He hears the Lord cry with a mighty voice, "Finished." And you know, this centurion said, in Luke 23 and 42, "Now when the centurion saw what was done, He glorified God, saying, certainly, this was a righteous man. Oh, friend, this morning, could I suggest to you that that letter J stands for the just one, the Lord Jesus Christ, the just Son of God. But you know, we come to the second letter in the name of Jesus. And that letter is the letter E. And could I suggest to you that it stands for the Eternal One? We read in Revelation 21 and 6, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. You know, brothers and sisters, many religions can take you to the tomb of their gods. And they can take you to where their God is buried. And they can take you to those tombs where they go to worship their gods. But praise God, the Lord Jesus is risen and is the Eternal One. The Bible tells us that he sat down at the right hand of God. The resurrection of Christ is an important truth. If there had been no resurrection, there would be no Christian faith. The Lord Jesus appeared to certain of his followers at least 10 times. Do you remember the two on the road to Emmaus? Both of them were so downhearted. They had seen the Savior nailed to the tree. They had seen him put into the tomb. And they thought that that was it, finished. But they forgot what he said, that he would rise the third day. And the Lord Jesus came walking beside them on the road to Emmaus. You know, my friend, this morning the Lord Jesus tells us in John 3 and 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. In John 3 and 6, 36, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth of him. In John 10 and 27, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. You know, if our Lord and Savior was still in the tomb, if he was still there, these messages from the Scripture would be useless to us. But praise God, our Savior is the Eternal One. Through the resurrection of Christ, God made it possible for all men to share eternal life with him. In John 14 and 19 he said, because I live, ye shall live also. Oh friend, what a joy it is to know that our Savior lives. And as long as he lives, we shall live also. There was a painting in Princess Street in a shop window. And it was a painting of the crucifixion. And this man was standing looking at the window and looking at the painting. And all of a sudden this little boy came and he tugged the man's coat. And he said, sir, that man in the middle cross is the Lord Jesus. And the man said, yes, I know that. And he said, sir, that other two men are thieves. And the man said, yes, I know that. And as the man started to walk down Princess Street, the little boy ran after him. And he says, sir, but he's not on the cross. The Lord Jesus is risen, and he's my Savior. And you know, that was like a dagger into the heart of that man. And you know, that man then came a trusted Savior, and he realized that the Lord Jesus was the Eternal One. Oh friend, this morning, the letter J, he's the just one. The letter E, he is the Eternal One. But Lord, the first S, he's my Savior. The Lord Jesus, my Savior. The death of Christ was necessary. It was part of God's eternal purpose. It was necessary to fulfill Old Testament prophecies. It was necessary to provide salvation for man and woman. He died as our substitute. The death of Christ was sufficient. It endured and exhausted the judgment of God against sin. How did the Lord Jesus save his people from their sins? At Calvary. The old hymn says, mercy there was great and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burdened soul found liberty at Calvary. O friend, at Calvary, the Lord Jesus Christ gave his life that you and I might be free. There was a young shepherd boy in Scotland, and this little shepherd boy was with his sheep. And he looked and he saw that there was a storm coming. And he wanted to get his sheep back into safety, back to the sheepfold. All that night he heard the wind blowing and he heard the trees falling. And he knew there would be a lot of damage. He couldn't wait till daylight to get up to see what happened to his sheep. He saw his sheep were safe. But as he looked across the fields, he saw that the bridge where the train coming up from London was to cross. And it was his dad was the driver of the train. But he noticed that the bridge had been swept away. And he knew that if his dad hadn't seen the bridge swept away, many people would have been hurt. The little boy went across onto the railway lines. And he kept running up the railway lines, waving frantically. But you know, the dad didn't have the time to stop. And he hit the little boy. Of course, he put the brakes on. And many people fell and were hurt in that train. And the people came up to the driver and said, "Look, there's people here with broken limbs. There's people here who are badly injured. What are you doing?" And the driver took these people up the track a little bit. And there lay the little mangled boy. And then he pointed to the bridge that had been washed away. And he said, "Men and women, my little son, give us life that you might live. My little son, give us life that you might live." And you know, my friend, the God of heaven would say to you this morning, "My son, give us life that you might live." Oh, friend, are you in this meeting this morning? Do you know the Lord is your Savior? Can you say, "He is my Savior"? What are you depending on your soul's salvation for? Is it church or is it some other thing? 2 Sunday nights ago, I was preaching in our Oma church, and I had the joy of pointing a 70-year-old man to the Savior. And he told me afterwards that his grandmother had been praying for him for years. And he told me that he was depending on his church to save him. But you know, that night he realized that there was only one that could save him, the Lord Jesus Christ. And he went out from that church witnessing to the people in the church that night he had found a Savior. Oh friend, what about you today? Do you know the Lord Jesus as your Savior? You know, F.B. Myers, just before he was passing into glory, he said to the man that was taking his funeral service, "Don't tell them about the servant. Tell them about the Savior. Don't tell them about the servant. Tell them about the Savior." Oh friend, the letter J, he's the just one. The letter E, he is the eternal one. The letter S, he is the Savior. But you know, I love this one. The latter U, the Lord Jesus, is the understanding one. The understanding one. What a comforter he is. O child of God, what a blessing it is when we find in our time of trouble that Christian friends and relatives are praying for us. But the greatest of all comfort is to know that Jesus understands and is praying for us. You know, believer, Jesus understands. He understands your sorrows. He understands when a loved one is taken from you. He understands when you look across the room and you see a vacant chair. A wife has been taken. A husband has been taken. A child has been taken. Some member of the family has been taken. And you know, your heart is broken. The tears well up in your heart. And you think that nobody cares. But you know, the Lord Jesus Christ understands. Can I take you to his friend's tomb this morning? He stood at the grave of Lazarus. And the Bible tells us that the Lord Jesus wept. Oh, he understands. My friend, maybe you're sitting in this meeting this morning and you have some illness. And you know, you say to me, Tommy, you don't know the pain I'm in. You don't know the worry that I have. I'm going to some appointment. I'm going for some surgery. I'm going for some treatment. Oh, friend, this morning there's one who understands. The Lord Jesus Christ understands. You say to me, Brother Tommy, the devil has been tempting me all week. The devil has been after me all week. And you know, it's hard to fight against him. But you know, my friend, the Lord Jesus Christ understands, believer. The devil tempted him. And the Lord Jesus said, it is written. The Lord Jesus Christ answered the devil with the word of God. And you know, friend, what a joy it is to know that the Lord Jesus Christ knows us as his children, that we're only flesh and blood. And he understands all that we have. You know, the devil wants the Christian to be down. He wants us to be defeated and disheartened. But you know, the hymn I sang this morning, what a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege it is to carry everything to God in prayer. You know, the Lord gave his disciples a tremendous promise. And believer, you can take this promise this morning with you as you face the world in the incoming week. As you face the temptations of the devil, you can take this verse with you. The Lord Jesus says, lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the world. Lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the world. Oh, the letter J, he's the just one. The letter E, he is the eternal one. The letter S, he is the Savior. The letter U, he's the understanding one. But praise God, the last S, he is my surety. He is my surety. I looked the English dictionary for the meaning of surety, and I found two. The first one says, one who becomes surety for another. A second, a person undertaking responsibility for payment. You know, my friend, people would say to me, how are you so sure that you're going to heaven? The reason why I'm so sure that I'm going to heaven is that the Lord Jesus Christ is my surety. And he says in 1 John, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye might know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. How do I know that I'm going to heaven? It's because the Bible tells me, and the Lord Jesus is my surety. The wee hymn says, he took my sins and my sorrows. He made them his very own. He bore the burden to Calvary and suffered and died alone. But my friend in the meeting, could I say to you, you haven't had your sins dealt with at Calvary. You haven't confessed your sins. You haven't had them washed in the blood. Oh friend, you have no surety of heaven. For you it'll be the great white throne, standing before the Savior. Today he could be your Savior, but that day he would be your judge. Oh friend, I would ask you this morning, come to the just one this morning. Come to the eternal one this morning. Come to my Savior this morning. Come to the understanding one, and he will be your surety. You know, any five in Scripture, the middle one is the important one. And what is the middle one in the five of Jesus? J-E-S-U-S. The middle one, he is Savior. To be the just one, he was Savior. To be eternal one, he is our Savior. To be the understanding one, he is our Savior. And praise God as my Savior. He is my surety for heaven. Just in closing, many years ago, an American pastor on a visit to London did the famous sightseeing tour of Buckingham Palace, Clarence House, and St. James's Palace. all the royal palaces. At that time, the king was sitting in Buckingham Palace. That evening, he went back to his hotel, and he reflected that as an American, he had no king or royal family. But you know, as he sat on his bed, it struck him that as a Christian, he had a greater king, and that he actually was and belonged to a greater royal family. Motivated by this, he wrote the chorus that evening, "Majesty, worship His Majesty. Unto Jesus be glory, honor, and praise. Majesty, kingdom authority flows from His throne unto His own, His anthem raise. So exalt, lift up the high the name of Jesus. Magnify, come glorify Christ Jesus the King. Majesty, worship His Majesty. Jesus who died, now glorified, King of all kings." Oh, my friend, are you in that royal family today? You can be in that royal family. If you ask the Lord Jesus Christ into your heart, just as you said, you will become a child of God and ready for heaven. If we can help you at all, please speak to us or speak to any of the members here or any of the elders. But friend, I would plead with you this morning, come and trust the Lord Jesus. We're going to close our meeting this morning.